Thank you so much for having me here today.
Yes, finally.
Finally. You know, I wanted to ask you, how did you first hear about the Sympathizer Project?
Oh my God. That pure stroke of luck. I just happened to just got an agent, Kim Luan, who's my agent from Powerhouse Image. And that was the second side she sent to me. And I didn't even know what a side was. I was like, what is this, you know? And I had to go on the internet and learn how to do a self-tape.
Right.
So I auditioned for two parts. One was for the film that Dustin Nguyen was in, where he kidnapped the driver.
Yeah, the getaway driver.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I believe I was narrowed down to the final two to play the sister.
Right, right.
Obviously, I picked someone else. But at that time, I was just auditioning for anything that I can find. I didn't know about the movie, just getting my feet wet and getting some experience. So I didn't expect to get anything. So Sympathizer Come to me is just, I've read the book. I read half the book. Up until now, 5 years, I haven't finished the book yet. Just still half the book. It's just very dense.
It's dense, yeah. It's a dense book.
And when I read something, I want to understand every word.
Right.
So something I don't understand, I would look up that one word in the dictionary. So I get, because he writes so beautifully, you know, he's like, and I really appreciate good writing. So it takes such a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that going in it without any expectation, without any fear, yeah.
But when you first read the book, did you see any hints of you and your family's history or anything in it?
You know, only the fact that in the book there was a general who has a liquor store. My dad has a liquor store. His wife has a pho store. My mom had a pho store. They have a daughter who ran away and go into show business. Ta-da, you know. And I see a lot. And when I met V, who played my daughter, and then for the scene that she was dancing, I actually introduced them to Shonda Sawyer, who did all the choreography for Paris by Night and basically all the Vietnamese.
Right.
And to see her, and she was so slim, which how I was when I first got into showbiz. It was just like,
you're not freaking far from me. From me.
Yeah.
So there are many details that are similar to your family.
Yes.
And how did that make you feel when you were reading that?
Well, first of all, I mean, my initial reaction was that book is a satire. So it pokes fun about
everyone,
right? And I just know we Vietnamese, especially my generation or older, we tend to be a little bit serious.
Yeah.
You know? So we take every satires, and, you know, and there was a scene when they were throwing food at the general,
right.
You know, and there was a part of me that was thinking, well, if people are thinking this general could be my father, could I be doing something that might be negatively seen upon his image? But then I thought again, hey, first of all, this is a book of fiction. It is fiction. And I should be proud of the fact that if they're going to have a few characters in the book that will signify a time or an era, well, it's my father. Because as far as the world knows, if there's a general with a mustache, Vietnam, you know, the Vietnam War, the whole Vietnam is associated with a general with a mustache. So then I should be proud that, you know, the international people, when they look at the Vietnam and that era, they think about my father as a figure. And of course, my mom is always.
I really love your answer. Yeah. You know, it just shows a sort of buoyancy, a sort of like lightheartedness about you and how you approach life. I mean, because those things are signifiers and they're satirical, but at the same time, it's like, it's fun. And it's like,
Well, they say, what is it? When someone imitates you, they said that's the greatest form of flattery.
Right.
And of course, if you're a comedian or a satirist, when you write something, it's got to be way out, right? And for people to get the point.
Yeah.
But it's still very flattering to feel that, wow, you know. And it's even more flattering. The first day I went on the set and I met with the hair and the makeup people, because they would bring, now I know how Hollywood works. They would bring you there, sit down, have the talk, going over every
right.
scene, every look. And you know what? They were pulling out pictures of my mom.
Wow.
So she was doing my hair. And some of them knew it was my mom. Some of the people that didn't know that right. that was my family. And they were just so astonished that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's flattery, right?
Yeah, really amazing. I remember you telling me way before you even started to read for auditions, mm-hmm. way before then, you were telling me about how you have began to sort of manifest the acting
yes.
career,
yes.
this
yes.
sort of next stage of your life. I mean, can you tell me about that?
Oh my God. Do you have only just an hour or 5 hours, you know? I mean, it might seem a little bit strange for people who, I really believe that this world's made up of energy,
yeah.
right? Because, you know, you go inside an atom and inside it is 99.999 empty space. So then got me thinking, so then what are we? Are we holograms? You know, there are theories that yeah. we're in a simulation or whatever. So therefore, what makes things come true in this physical world for us? I've been reading up and I've been just really believe it's what you believe it to be. But here's the thing, why a lot of us believe things to be doesn't come true, because we're all so stressed out about it. So just imagine this up here we are. This is the universe of energy, right? We're sending the signal up.
Yeah.
I want this. I want this. I want this. But then we have thousands of other thoughts in our head that negates it,
yeah.
right? So, okay, I want to be an award-winning actress. I want that. I'm telling the universe that. But a thousand times in my head, come on, dude, are you kidding?
Yeah.
You're just stepping into Hollywood. You don't have experience. Like, no way. So that little thought cancel out the other
yeah.
thoughts. With the sympathizer, I think the why I got it is because I wasn't really going after. I was just like, you know, I'm going to audition just to get experience. And, you know, I don't really, if I get it, it's good. But, you know, I'm not going to sweat out about it. And, you know, and I think that's what makes it come true. Things that you tell the universe you want,
yeah.
and then you have to take one step towards making it happen. So I have to get an agent. But after that, you tried what I consider was my best. I still tried. I still have to learn how to do the self-tape. I have to send it in. But after that, I don't worry about it. If I get it, it's great. If I don't, my life is still good. And I think that little part at the end, how you just don't sweat about it. That's where a lot of people
mess up. Yeah, yeah.
You know, people who are religious, who are especially Catholic, they believe 100% that if you really pray, God, you know,
will
Jesus
answer.
Will give. And that's because they don't sweat about it.
Right.
After they pray, they totally believe, they don't second guess. And if it happens a little bit later, they, you know, they think, well, God is taking his time to do all these things. And yeah.
So does this thought, this idea, did it come to you like in your early career, or is this something that you figured out a little bit recently?
Well, I have always been into energy and meditation and stuff, but lately I've coupled that with also quantum physics.
Yeah.
I see a lot of that. So what I'm trying to for myself is to not just believe in things because your lungs or someone tells
yeah.
you to, but to back it up with scientific
yeah.
and I go into quantum physics, the double slit experience
yeah.
convinced
yeah.
me that, you know, what you see, things come out. And the more I believe in it, as starting to believe in it, the more it came true. Okay, can I tell you this? I don't know, this is kind of digressing.
No, it's okay. Not. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Manifestation. So last year on my birthday, I told my partners, why don't we get dressed up and go to a fancy car dealer, like something I would never thought that I would
do. Yeah.
We got up, dressed really nice, went down to Newport Beach. We walked in there and they said, you know, just order a car. You have to put down only a minimal amount. And when the car comes back, and if you don't like it, they sell, they give you back your money. So I said, why not?
Yeah.
We're here. So we start ordering things that I could never, if I were to buy the car for real.
Right.
I'm just going to say real fast, the car I was driving at the time was like about $50,000. The car I was looking at, it was already based at $100,000.
Yeah.
But by the time I built everything up, it got to $169,000. Which, if I thought about it, it would be no. But I said, you know what? Let's not sweat about it. by the time the car, they said 2 years for the car to get here, 1 year for them to start building and another year for it to come. I said, you know, maybe I'll have the money by then.
Right, right.
But if not, I'll get my money back. Don't sweat about it. That was June. In October, they said, you know what? Some guy fell out of the waiting line, so we can put you in now. Do you want it? I said, okay. I thought another year I would have the car. December, the car is here. But you know what? Between then, I got a contract as a spokesperson. Also, I got this money in. The car came in. It was very easy. I was able to lease it under my company because I do drive it for work. So I get a tax write-off, and next thing you know, now I have that car in my garage.
See, but I
which I would never.
That's crazy,
have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, I'm starting to look at your life and think about all of these sort of systems mm-hmm. happening way before these things are happening in life, because mm-hmm. things sort of, you know, in our last interview last year, things sort of fall in place for you, but very early in your life, they mm-hmm. started to happen. So were you starting to think this way maybe 20 years, 30 years ago?
Well, here's the thing. I've always luckily been a very positive person. Like, I'm just, you know, but I would hit and miss things and never know why. I never know why, like, something would happen and then something wouldn't. But it's not until now. And let me tell you something else. Now, based on that car last year, I'm like, okay, is it... like yeah. coincidence, or is this thing, so I'm going to try another thing. But this time I'm going to manifest, but systematically, right, like realize. Yeah. One day I got a brochure for these fancy houses, the Sotheby's, the ones that the lakefront houses, the one that I would always pick up the brochure and say, no way, you know, like the Newport houses. This time I said, you know what? I'm not just going to go for the house inside. I'm going to go for the house on the cover.
The one
and
you want.
I always yeah. put the best one on the cover. Was a lake house, lake cover with a dock, which normally, like, no, I wouldn't, right? But I said, you know what? I'm going to take that one step. I'm going to make an appointment to go see the house. Because normally you would like, why you go see? It's never going to happen. I want to see the house. I love it. So they let's find a way to make it happen. So I got two friends, you know, and to come. And now we're in escrow. And which I would never, and you know what, this is, the funny thing is, I'm trying to figure out which friends can I ask to go. Happened to be Paris by Night, the first time put me together with Hong Dao and Huai Tam, because they had the show, and yeah, and it's not here, they're trying to put, and just because we were emceeing together, I said, you guys know what, there's this lake house, I love it, I can't afford it, why don't you guys go look at me? 3 days later, we were there, and they come back, they say, we love it, let's do it. If it had not been for Tuinga putting us together,
yeah.
I would have never thought, you know, of them. And so I think that once you tell the universe what you like, once the universe say you're taking some action, you're thinking about it, you're trying, you know. The first couple of friends I took there, they said, no, no, we have other projects. We love it, but, you know, we have other projects. And this is the second friend I took there, just like the sympathizer. It was the second role that I try out. So I think you got to do more than one time for the universe to know. And but I, you know, at the certain point, I said, okay, that's all I can afford. If I can't get it, then it's okay. Yeah. I can't get it. I still have my house. I still love life. I'm not going to sweat. But if I'm going to get it, it has to be where I'm comfortable, when I'm not stretching too hard. Yeah. I, you know, next thing we know, it's here. You see?
I remember we were in Oregon, me, you, and your partner. We were in Oregon together, and we were in the back of a restaurant, and you were telling me about the acting thing.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, you booked it.
Oh, yes,
you remember that?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I was like, that is crazy. Because you were breaking down the slit theory.
The experiment.
Yeah.
That you are thinking what you think became real. Yeah.
Yeah, you were breaking that down in the back of that Oregon bar that we were talking. It was just me, you, and your partner. And we were just talking about that. And then, swear to God, it was like a few months later, I remember you telling me, can I book the sympathizer? And I was like, that is crazy.
Right.
Because you were telling me how much it was a dream to become an actress for you.
Right. But it has to be to the point where it's good that it's happening. But if not, okay. You got to kind of have to go in with that mental attitude. And I think that things that I go in like that works out.
But why do you think you need to have that release? if it doesn't work out, it's fine. Why do you think that is a key component?
When you want it so much, you get stressed out. And when you're stressing out,
that vibration.
It's that vibration. When you're too afraid of losing something, it's got to be, you love it, but it's a bonus to have.
Yeah, yeah.
But if not, so you have to come from a place of happiness and fulfillment already.
Right.
See, a lot of people, like, I've heard, like, all these coach, and I don't get it until I experience it.
I hear it all the time.
You have to be from a place of happiness and fulfillment, but it's hard to be when you want something so much, you know?
When you need something.
So what you have to do, what I did is, now that I'm aware that that we have all these thoughts going in through our mind all the time, every time a negative thought comes, I realize, here's that thought. You know what's in? Think about something else. Let's watch a cat video or something, you know? Just
get your mind off.
Get your mind off. Don't dwell on it. And just, don't worry about it.
I'm seeing this sort of idea of thinking about life pop up a lot in the Vietnamese community now.
Really? Okay, good.
Not in the older first generation,
right, of course, but
like our age, I'm seeing it show up in different partnerships that I'm a part of.
Great.
A lot of people are now talking about it, but do you see it in your world?
I see it more on the videos on the internet. Before, it's sort of like a little bit taboo.
Yeah,
like
woo.
You're more superstitious, right?
Yeah.
What all these things.
People laugh at us. Yeah.
I also know that now I think humanity is evolving to a point where, you know, when people say about, you know, Judgment Day or things like that in the religious talk, I don't think it's literally like...
Right.
But I do think that we're going to evolve. We're going to evolve with our conscious and the like people. We're going to... Well, you know, if we're living in this world that has these laws on how to manipulate the energies, well, the ones that can manipulate it and really believe it's going to go to another level, right? If I'm not living in fear or poverty, or I'm not scared, I'm having the greatest life, things keep coming true for me. Well, those are the ones that truly, like, I've heard, like, Jesus says that he has created this world, this heaven on earth, right? Jesus said, heaven is here. Buddha said, heaven is here. Everybody is telling us all
heaven is here, yeah.
Heaven is here. You got it. It's in your hand. We gave it to you.
Yeah.
But we don't believe that. We keep thinking that we're born into, you know, the world is hard, da-da-da-da, you know, so yeah.
You know, going back to the sympathizer, when you got the call and you began to work, can you tell me what it was like for you on set, like the day-to-day and your feelings and how you thought about the work that you did?
I thought, you know what? It's one of the greatest experiences of my life. I don't know if I can have it or not, but you know what? Even if I don't have it, it's good enough. That's the way you got to think. I mean, you're talking about being treated like a star, you know? It's just another level up. Like, so for example, in the Vietnamese community, we would book a gig. We go to the hotel and the promoter would come pick all of us up and go to the theater. Well, here, even though we stay at the same hotel, each of us had a Mercedes van to pick us up at 6-minute increments difference.
Wow.
So Go Kiu Ching, I would come down at, you know, 5:48, so my call time, and Go Kiu Ching would be like 5:53, you know? And I say, why? And they say they operate on military time. Well, you're a military man. I don't know why. But you get there, each of us have our own trailer. First thing, knock, 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 someone do a COVID test. And then knock, 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 would you want to breakfast? There's always crash cart breakfast, but they'll bring breakfast to you. Then your script for that day is printed ahead for you, one in big font and one in little font, depends on what. And in your cabin, there are always two gowns. One is a light gown, one is a thicker gown with lining, two slippers, in case it's hot or cold, right? A thin slipper and a thick slipper. And then, no, time for makeup. You go there, you go from your makeup chair to your hair chair. You're never waiting for anyone because they're always moving people
stations,
in, you know? And then knock, 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 knock. When you're ready, now wardrobe comes in. You come in, knock, knock, knock. Now they're going to drive you to wherever the scene is. You get there. Already someone's telling you to go to a place where all the actors sit. You got your own chair. Again, Do you want anything to eat, any food? While you're sitting there, there's another team, the second team. They're same height. They're wearing everything you're doing. They're doing camera practices for camera angles, whatever. So you just have to sit there, remember your line. And by the time they say, first team up, now you know your only job is to get that line,
yeah,
right? Because everything else is taken care of for you. You don't have to sweat. You don't have to worry. You get a good night's sleep. Like, I don't have to drive from Orange County to Hollywood. You're up there the night before. So you're only 20 minutes from where you're supposed to be, you know? And everyone is, and now that is for everyone. But getting on set, I think this is a unique experience. I haven't been on any other movie, but I can quite almost imagine that this will be one of the most unique experience, because you're there. You're with all these Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And most of us are first time Hollywood in a big set like that, right? And then you get Gu Jing, you get Sandra, you get Robert. Now, of course, Robert, he's only there for his scene, right? He's in and out. But Sandra's there with us. She's sitting there waiting, hanging out, talking. And, you know, if this other invaluable lesson that I learned by being on the set and being around Sandra and Robert is not so much their acting, although I did pick that up, but just on being a star, on being, what are you going to do when you're there and they're newcomer coming in? And there's these bright-eyed people who are looking up to you, who are asking you on, you know, like, yeah, I asked Sandra, like, how do you, you know, and sharing with you. And, you know, it almost, I guess because we were all beginner and they were, like, there's not even, no competition.
Right, there's
no competition, but I almost feel like they're lifting you up. They're picking you up and they're, yeah, you know, and I was in the scene with Robert. I didn't even have a line. You know, that scene where he comes over the house, I'm just kind of glaring at him, you know. But in the middle of the, you know, the tech, he would just look over at me and says, you're a very good actress. And, you know, just that one line from him.
Lifts you.
Just like, you know, I don't know if he does, if he knows that that's the effect he has. You know, I almost cry just thinking about it. And that is something I would love to do for people who's going to be new, if one day I ever get to be, I mean, not, but something close, not even close, but, you know, more experience, and I have young people come in, and I see that I have been doing that in Paris by Night, when we have young singers coming in. Of course, I've been in there 30 years, and, you know, Vietnamese singers from Vietnam. I try to be the first person to say hi to them, because, you know, normally if they're not saying hi to you, I realize it's not because they're being stuck up Vietnamese.
They're terrified.
But they're terrified.
Terrified of you,
Hi, this is Kenneth Nguyen. A few years ago, before I launched the Vietnamese podcast, my father and all of his siblings passed away. Their passing marked the loss of their stories and the connection to my grandparents and great-grandparents. This is partly what inspired me to start the work of the podcast. Many of you still have the opportunity to record and preserve the legacies of your own families. I've just begun to sit with a few families now for interview sessions to record the rich histories of their parents and the lives of the generations that preceded them. Don't let your family's stories go untold. Take a moment to reach out to me, and together we will bring out your family's story on a recorded journey. I've included the link in the episode description. Visit VietnamStoryBank.com today for more information.
The old thinking, Vietnamese thinking, oh, you're younger.
You have to say hello
first, because that's the way it is. The young person say hi, or if they're not saying hi, you're thinking, oh, you know, you're just newcomer. You're already thinking that. No, I would walk up and say hi, because I realize they're just scared like me. Like, I would kind of, if I see Director Park walk this way, I would walk behind. That's not us to say hi to him. If I see Robert, I just kind of, you know,
right,
I'm shy.
Right.
So it's not being sold. So see, those are the kind of things I learn, and I think those are invaluable lessons. Oh, well, aside from the acting. You know?
And what did you learn about the acting? What did you pick up? I think on a technical level, did you see anything?
Yes. Okay. So for example, for us, for myself, I'm just reading the lines exactly like that. And when director Park tell me to do something, I'm going to do exactly like that. Whether it's like he's going to tell me to use this finger to point at you, because I've seen him done it. He's so particular. It's this finger. And he, if he wants like to call you over, like it would be one, two, and not like this, you know, you know. But I see from like Robert or Sandra, when you, you know, when you're that experienced, you can do your own thing. You can suggest other things. You're not just
reading
the script exactly like the line. And I can see how they take those lines and just bring colors to it. Aside from what the director, of course the director, but once you're that good, you turn the character into something else that when I read the script, I didn't see it. I didn't see how he's going to turn it. But to be that confident and to try different, and I can see the synergy between the director and the actor, and it's got to be like this. It's not someone more, someone. Of course, me is the director's 90%, right?
Right,
I'm not there yet. But to see them give and take, and every take, he would do, yes, but something else a little bit different, something else. And just too, so natural that you don't know what he's acting or, you know, the camera's on or off yet. He's just exactly the same.
And so this is talent, right?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's
that's
practice?
That's why they're there.
Yeah. That's why they're stars, right?
Yeah.
And do you think that it is something that, I mean, frankly, I want to know, at your stage, at your place in life, do you think that, because you've had a lot of experience on stage and you have a lot of experience in showbiz, and now going into the area of acting now, do you think that either you have it or you don't, or you can learn based on being around Robert Downey Jr. or Sandra?
I think it's like this. It's like being a singer, right? You can take all sorts of singing lessons. And if you're really good, maybe you can even teach teach people how to sing. You can get the beat and the rhythm and you're on key and on note. But what makes that one singer different? What from other singers, right? There is something that's from the inside also. It's your voice. It's your expression. So I think it's the same thing with acting. Sure, there's a lot of things you can learn. It's always great to learn. But what makes a... And you learn and you can train to be a good actor. Sure. But what the difference between a good actor and a great actor is just that, you know, the French says, je ne sais quoi. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what.
X factor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is some... So therefore, when I'm in the entertainment business, learn to be humble. Learn to never be jealous of anyone. Because you know what? It's something that God gave you. And maybe if you don't have that, maybe you have something else. I do believe that each of us has something so unique. And if we tap into it, we would be the only one doing, like you right now, doing this interview in English for the next generation Vietnamese. I don't see anyone else doing it. And the fact that you kept at it from, you know, from your little humble beginning, now you have all the equipment, you got the light, you know, you get more and more professional each time. You know, you never know where that...
Yeah,
that will take you, you know?
Thank you.
I hope that to see you have 3 or 4 million followers, like all these that I see, you know, on YouTube. And why not?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I want to segue over into this idea of, you know, there was a special time period, I think, that you and Jung An, when you guys met. Lightning in a Bottle. You guys caught lightning in a bottle. And I think that the production at Paris by Night got a very special 3 decades mileage out of what you guys did. And I know every time I ask you about this, you always send me in a different direction about, oh, you know, two other people can probably set up something. I don't believe that. I think it was a very special. What is going to replace that for our community?
Well, Vietnamese, we have a saying that's called Thời Thế Tạo Anh Hùng. So heroes are made by, you know, by what's happening, you know, the time around you. I really felt that Anh Nguyễn Ngọc Ngạn and I, we were in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
The right combination too of someone who's a professor, who's older, representing, let's say, our parents' generations, who are more Vietnamese, who could read and write perfect English, but who might still have an accent, right? And then my generation, who was like, I was 9 when I came here, so basically didn't know a lot about Vietnamese, and you know, and so I think that combination were exactly right for the time for the Vietnamese communities here growing up with, and there were no other sorts of entertainment, you know, that was it. And even for Vietnam, people back in Vietnam at that time, I go back, people, that is the only entertainment they have. Now they're like so many shows, you know, stuff, but that was the only thing they have. So I think what comes next now is, well, the answer would be, don't be another Nguyễn Ngọc Ngạn and Nguyễn Cao Kỳ Duyên. There would never
be that combination again.
But yeah, there will be a Nguyễn something and Nguyễn something else, or a Trần something. And but you just have to find, you know, even my time as an MC, I was lucky enough that even the things that were bad about my MCing became good because I was being myself. So the fact that my Vietnamese was not that good, that I kept saying the wrong thing, but because I came in there thinking that, you know, I'm 9 years old, I didn't learn Vietnamese, so of course I'm not going to be perfect.
You're okay with it.
So when I say something wrong, Ngạn would correct me, and I'm like,
and it worked.
Sorry, thank you, let me say it again.
Yeah.
And I wasn't embarrassed by it. I was okay, you know, because, and I think that that natural, that easy would say, and the audience, I think we love it when we feel someone's being genuine and when they're doing something wrong, because we've all been there.
Wow.
And just to be able to say, oops, let me say again. And, you know, I've been there when I've asked the audience, like they record something, everyone clap, and I said the wrong thing. I said, can you please act like you're listening to this? This is the first time I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
And my God, they clap even more.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Because they know that we've all messed up and to be okay with that. So I think whoever's going to be the next MC couple or an individual, I would say be yourself. Don't try to be like anyone else. Just be yourself, discover what it is that, you know, and if you're lucky, what happens to be yourself can be accepted. That's why I say I'm lucky. This kind of goofy thing, now people accepted it.
You know, it makes me think about the relatability when you were making mistakes and Jungat was correcting it or having fun with you. I think there's like two things at play where I think young people in the audience were probably looking at you going, that's me.
Yeah.
Right?
How many times I say something wrong and my
parents said,
that's not how you say
that
it.
That relatability of like, well, we're all learning the culture at the same time that you're learning on stage.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of young people were probably connecting in those early years with you. And
you know, one thing you talk about learning, I've got really thanks Paris My Night. And I said this over and over again, and it's not because I worked for them only, but I learned so much because even in Vietnam, I had gone to international school. So just learn English subject. I never learned about Vietnamese history or what happened. So bit by bit through the songs, like, you know, I never knew a certain thing about Go Chang Ting or, the, you know, certain things. And then I think as I'm learning it, a lot of young kids here, you know, younger, you know, learning it too. Yeah.
You know, do you think that there will be another chapter, if it's not Paris by Night, but another production company, do you think that there will be another chapter? Do you really believe it? We're searching out here. Us young people, like we're thinking about this all the time. And I might not be in the young circuit, but I am around a lot of young people, Vietnamese Americans, Vietnamese Belgian, Vietnamese French. I hear it all the time. It's like, what's the next thing that's going to come in and not replace Paris by Night, but will be another thing, a culture hub?
Well, I just think that whatever we have now, we've got to do it part English, part Vietnamese. I think we should have, if if you find want to find singers here in here, it's hard to find that they can speak Vietnamese.
Yeah.
But I think that you know, maybe do some more English song with some few Vietnamese words. You know, I've listened to a lot of Korean song. The big part of it that's English, you know.
Right.
And I think the world is actually through internet and stuff, we're merging more. So it doesn't have to be pure Vietnamese. Songs can be English or Vietnamese songs that are maybe written with a more of an international beat so that it can, you know.
It's not happening. I mean, I'm saying that because the economics and the structure for a production company that can do this is no longer the...
Here's what I've been telling Paris by Night, Titui. I said, you know what? Why don't you let Selena, her daughter, just to direct or to do part of the song, part of the program, see what new ideas, who she's going to bring in. So that was my suggestion because I don't even know what to do. But maybe young people might have something else, you know?
And what is her response?
Well, definitely her son, Kevin, is doing... He went to school to do a stage...
directing.
Production. Designing. So maybe Selena can do one or two songs and we'll see. Yeah, she said she's up to it.
And is she more of a producer type or an... an entertainer?
She's both. I mean, that girl, she can MC also. She can MC, she can do interviews, she's a model, she does runway, she does DJ, a lot of things, you know? So, yeah.
She sounds like the next generation.
Yeah.
And how come that hasn't happened yet?
Well, you have to ask her mom. That you have to ask her. Well, because I think it's happening now. What happens, I think, that before, because there's still a lot of, not enough money to be made doing this, that you're afraid that when you do something new, you might lose even that little bit that you have left.
Yeah.
But now I think even this generation is growing a lot older. And so it comes time to either pivot or get out of the business. So when it gets to that much, then you've got to change to stay the same or do something else.
Yeah, I think your partner asks me all the time, why do I care so much about this? He goes, I don't understand why you're so obsessed, why I'm so obsessed about văn hóa tồn tại, right? So keeping it going. Well, because the truth is, and the answer is, if you're born in America and you come from Vietnamese parents, you oftentimes don't know where you are. You have no compass. Right. I don't. I'm just speaking for myself.
Right.
So I'm in the community so I can figure out where I'm going, who I want to become, and where my children should land, right? Because they're not going to feel like white America.
Right.
But they're not even going to feel like they're Vietnamese or Taiwanese anymore. That it's just this sort of like weird, you're floating in space, but you have no anchor.
Well, I see that a lot with my daughter too, who's 26 now. I have two daughters. So the older daughters, we take her to Vietnamese school a lot of time. The youngest daughter, we don't. Now the older daughters can read and write in Vietnamese. The youngest daughter, she's blaming me now.
Really?
Mom, why can't, you know?
Wow.
She likes to go back to Vietnam to study. So I think there are a lot of young people, like you, even younger than you, who are now going back to the roots. So I think, yeah, like if we have some programs that are maybe in half English, half Vietnamese, to do, you know, nói nửa tiếng Mỹ, nửa tiếng Việt, I mean, nói tiếng Mỹ, xong rồi nói tiếng Việt, so they can at least pick up the gist of it.
Yeah.
Like my daughter, maybe my second daughter, like she knows that she can understand a lot. But don't nói tiếng Việt nhiều hơn đi. But, you know, because, and why not, you know, to do in both English and Vietnamese, but not purely Vietnamese.
Purely English?
Yeah. I know you well enough to know that you really don't, you're not too bận tâm, you're not too busy worrying about this stuff. But you are an icon in Vietnamese culture. Mm-hmm. You're an icon in Vietnamese American culture. And I just don't get the feeling that it's like, you know, if your daughters pick it up, it's great. If they don't, it's okay. I mean, right? That's right. Sort of like your whole mentality is like, you know, whatever they want to do, they want to get married, they want to do the culture, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, do you think about like in 20, 30 years, when you look at Vietnamese American culture and the Vietnamese language and the things that we do is no longer really here, does that make you sad at all?
Gee, no, because you know what? I think that here's the thing. You're talking about identity, Vietnamese or American. I don't know why that doesn't weigh heavily on my mind, because if I'm with all my American friends, well, I'm as American as can be, except in Montana. I'm Californian Americans, okay? When I'm with my Vietnamese friends, I'm Vietnamese, and I think it's great to be able to swim in both cultures, both languages. And why do I don't think there's a need for me to be one or another. As far as my kids are concerned, I think they can't help. Because here's the thing, when you're living around a Vietnamese family, like what my daughter, she loves pho now, it's almost you absorbing the culture. I don't think I have to sit down and tell my daughters, da-da-da-da. But at certain times, like for example, you know, before dinner starts, it's always tradition in our family, con nít phải mời người lớn. I know it's a northern thing, but we have to say, mời mẹ sơi mời. So that means asking older adults to eat with us. It's just natural. So I think those little tidbit they're going to carry. And I really think culture and things are really passed more through families' interaction than what they can see on television and shows. So if you have a Vietnam, and I think cultures is also not just the language. It's the way we live. It's the way we care for our elders, you know, things like that. I think that is what's going to pass on. And yeah, so I don't worry about losing the culture.
And do you pay attention much to entertainment in Vietnam?
Not that much. I just know that at the same time, the rate of turnover, you know, for like start going up and down and up, it's very fast.
Oh, really? It's faster than here.
Well, because there's
so many of them.
1 million people, right? However,
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The top stars
still
stays around for the longest
time.
Once you're there, it's almost like you're there. Yeah.
But is that because when you're established, you stay? Or is it because you're so good that it's hard to knock you out that position?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of... I see the ones that last long, they have to be good. And they have to work hard. And they have to still love what they're doing.
Right.
You can still see the star. So like over here, I'll bring one example, is Non Ho, right? He still goes to show every week, sometimes two shows a week. He's never been back to Vietnam to perform there. He's never been back.
Never been back.
He's still going to shows like crazy here. But you can tell every show, like if I ever do a number with him, right? Like this one song, he said, oh, he wants me to just read this song, Bagon Le Bagon, for me to read, for him to sing. Just for one song, just, you know, this one time. But he would send me to Huỳnh Nhật Tân's recording studio for me to record it, just for me to listen, okay? And to practice. He's paying for all that.
Oh, my God.
Tân to do that number for me to rehearse. And this is a live show on stage. I'm not doing anything, just for me to read, to know when to come in to read. For himself, he would take a trip just to Korea to go shopping. The plane goes in, he will go one or two days shopping for clothes, come back. He's always on time to work. When he's there, like whatever place you put him, he never complains about, you know, being the first
position,
out, the last one out, on time. And when he's performing, you tell him, he's giving his all to the audience, whether it's throwing out these little lights or, you know, he's entertaining. And he still loves doing it. And that is just me, right? Imagine what he does for himself in terms of practicing, looking for new numbers, new, you know. And he's been doing this for 30, 40 years, yeah. You know. That's why he's still going on show. As opposed to other singers I know, they're not going on show. They let their body go out of shape. Yeah. They don't exercise. They're singing old songs. They're not coming out with new hits. They're not looking for new numbers, you know, on the weekend. They're just having fun, you know, going to people's house. And you think why the career doesn't go up? Because the audience can sense when you really...
There for them.
Yeah, or not. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. And I think it goes for actors as well. You know, when you see like a Meryl Streep, you know, she's constantly in the light.
Yeah.
And her way of looking at things are that OCD, that really that perfection to deliver for her audiences, is you could see it too.
Well, I just see this happen. I just heard her on the 5 minutes before, you know, before you got here. She was doing that with Oprah and for Harris campaign. They have this podcast going on, and she was one of the persons that came up with Julia Roberts, and, you know, so yeah, she's great. I'm definitely.
You know, I wasn't going to talk about it on this podcast, but if you're open to, I would love to hear, not your position, I would just like to hear your thoughts about the upcoming elections, if you're open to it.
Hear about my position.
Yep. I would love to talk about it.
I think I'm a registered independent, because for me, it's about the person more than
the party.
Or, you know, for me, it was such an easy choice, right? She's a woman.
Yep. Woman of color.
And she's of Asian descent, you know? But beside that, she's from California. She's a prosecutor. So she's like, everything that you know, I'm from, where I'm from.
Yeah.
I'm like everything down here. Like I'm a non-practicing lawyer, right? I'm from California. I'm pure Asian, you know? So just from that standpoint.
The identity standpoint.
Yeah. I think that someone's got to break the glass ceiling. You know, I think America we're ready for it.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you know, it's just, I think character matters a lot. I think that our leaders should not lie to us and should not lie lies that are so patently, like everyone can tell is a lie. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to lie, at least be a better liar about it, right? Like, so that's it for me. And that's,
yeah.
I have two daughters and I'd also reproductive rights to me. I really like what Kamala said, and I think it makes sense. Like, meaning, yes, it's a personal choice if you don't believe in it. And I, you know, you talk to your priest, your pastor, your, you know, your monks or your nuns. But if other people want to do it, and, you know, and you know, I also thought, oh, well, they have all these exceptions. That should be okay. But, you know, now the cases are coming out, you know. Our doctors are going to wait until, like, you're about to die before they do something, and someone did die
because
it was too late. So things like that, you know, for all that reason. Yeah.
You know, I'm beginning to ask people from all different parties and different extremes, do you feel if the election goes one way or another that this is the end of America? Right?
No.
Okay, good. It's too much.
To say the end of America. Yeah.
No. Because you start to, and I bring this up because I want our community to not feel that way. If it goes to one party or another party, it's not the end of the United States.
Right.
So we should not be fighting within our families. That's well, thing. Here's the we thing. Shouldn't be killing each other.
And here's the thing. And I, at someone I heard on a podcast named it, says before, it's just political difference. You can vote for guy A and vote right. by B and Y. Okay, because, you know, I like this and that. And it's nothing personal.
Yeah.
What has come around this time is that it's so personal that even you, right? And you say, oh, can I ask for your point of view? I'm just saying I'm vote for this person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that if you vote for someone else that you're a bad person or there's something wrong with you. You're free to vote for whoever you
right.
want. But now it has come down to, and, you know, I personally, I have a theory. I name a lot of it on the algorithm that keeps putting you, you only Absolutely. See things and things. To the point where,
it's tearing society apart.
To the
apart.
Point where you don't believe any kind of news, wherever you're at, right? On the you,
yeah.
you totally believe that that is wrong and they're, you know, alternative facts. So when we cannot even agree on some common facts, like, okay, today is sunny, the sky is blue. I know it's not really blue, it's, you know, then it's so hard to have a conversation. And now, let's say when someone says, I hate Kamala, right? Oh, I think she's this and that. I should be able to feel, oh, she hates Kamala. She's not hating Zwin. And
right.
she's, oh, you have a right to hate Kamala.
Yeah. yeah.
That's fine. People said Joe Biden is old and he can't, well, yeah, she's old. That's fine. You vote for Trump. And that's fine with me too.
Yeah.
And you're fine. And that's what a democracy is.
Absolutely. But
what is not fine is if I vote for Kamala, you know, oh, then Zwin, you are this and that, blah, 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 blah. You know, or if you, you know, vote for this and that. And I think once is no longer about, oh, just who you are, but it's about you personally. Mm-hmm.
We have
you
a problem.
You will defend that yeah. till the day you die.
Yeah.
Because now it's no longer about, oh Zwin, you know, you wrote for Kamala because this or that. But Zwin, how can you vote yeah. for her? Are you dumb or something? What if like that's about me? Then I'm just gonna, you know.
Yeah, I want this year to be different.
I think that's the problem.
I want it to be different this year because we went to Montana. You know, your partner and I and eight other guys go to Montana. Half the guys were Trump guys or conservative guys, and half the guys were progressive liberal guys. And I'm like, we had a great time.
Right.
Sometimes we talked about politics and it was fun, and we're just jabbing each other. Yeah. And I wish that the rest of the Vietnamese community could be like that, you know, because these guys were like, there's some diehard conservative guys and some, you know, your partner and I are we're liberal guy, you know, but at the same time, we have a lot of love for the Vietnamese. I mean, all 10 guys were like right, these Vietnamese
right,
guys.
Right.
We love each other.
Right, right.
We had a great time
right.
in Montana, a wobbly, you know, it's like a very, conservative group of people. And we had a great time. And I just... This year, I want to just let everybody know, look, one way or the other, the world is not going to end. The United States is not going to end.
Right, right. I think it's just being mindful and being respectful. You know, don't be cussing people out just because they vote differently
yeah.
from you. You know? And be respectful for the comments that you leave, you know, even in this program.
Right. right?
It's going to come out. A lot of people's going to...
Yeah, yeah.
And just... I think that would be a good place to start the conversation. It's just, I always believe it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
It's how you say it. And it's how you should, I really think that you should be respectful of other people's choice.
Absolutely.
Right?
Even absolutely.
If it's not something you would make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to look at our parents like they're crazy.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of us young people that we look at our parents like just because they voted one way or the other, we're just like, we just want to kill them, and we, you know, we have to. Yeah, I think I want to kind of instill that within the Vietnamese community, so we don't tear our families apart. You know, I think that's really important.
Well, in my, you know what, I just come back to the old, you know, the rule that's worked for all these years: don't talk politics.
At
you know,
the table, yeah,
yeah. So because I have I have six brothers and sisters, and I think three of them, totally for Trump, totally for Trump. My sister went to the January 6th, but luckily she was just outside and said that she left and go shopping. You know, she was there to just, you know, meet outside, and you know, she left to go shopping. She's totally my, you know, I have older brothers who are total, you know, to my older brothers. And so we have these other three kids who are, you know, voting. But so we just said, don't talk about Trump.
Yeah.
Don't talk about things like that. And I still love my brothers and sisters.
They're absolutely.
They're just lovely people.
Yeah.
You know, they believe in different things than I do.
So. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. So they're my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. G.I., thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Christo Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.